Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Welcome, everybody. This is Gretchen Hochmeister, the Executive Director of the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon, and I'm joined by Tammy Gaskell, the Executive Director of the Rojan Library across the border in New York. And today we are going to talk about our beloved favorite fundraising event. Thought I would just start by saying that as an association library, not a municipal library, our library, the Hotchkiss Library, has to raise approximately 65% of our operating budget. And so in addition to our annual appeal each year, we have a number of events that we do, small things all the way up to very large fundraising events. So we're busy fundraising all the time, pretty much every day. Tammy, why don't you start off and tell us what you do over there, because I think you're in a similar situation.
We're in a very similar situation. We also are an association library, and we get, like you, only about 35% of our revenue from public sources. So we have to raise the rest, either through writing grants, which we do quite a bit of, or fundraising events and appeals. So like you, we are fundraising almost constantly. We have one big event a year, and our big event is actually coming up in a couple of weeks. Usually it's in early June, but this year we've moved it to July 11. We have a big, what has been traditionally called the gala. We're trying to get away from that phrase and call it a party celebrating the library. And this year we've moved it to our new pavilion, which just had its ribbon cutting last month. So people will get to enjoy our new outdoor space. We'll also have some tents for overflow. We'll have a band. We have food trucks. We have auctions, both silent and live auctions. And that is, as I said, July 11th from 6:30 to 9, and tickets are still available, so we hope people will come. And that is our biggest fundraiser of the year. That raises by far more than any of our other fundraising activities. The other two major things we do are an end-of-year annual appeal, which is a letter or a card that goes out to people in the area, supporters, patrons. And that's our second biggest fundraiser. And then in the spring, in April, during National Library Week, we also do another appeal. And those are the three main ones. Of course, throughout the year, we accept general donations. We also have a friends group who has a bookstore that is open every Saturday in the basement of the library, and they raise money for the library. Those are the primary activities that we do. I know you do a few very interesting events over in Sharon as well.
We do. Similar to you, we have a gala, which we've now rebranded as the Soiree, to sound more party-like. Sounds like similar thoughts in both of our organizations. And it's a lovely cocktail party with a live and silent auction. Ours is traditionally held at a home in Sharon. And ours was just 2 weeks ago, the first Saturday in June this year. Most likely next year it will be back in May, when we prefer to have it a little earlier. And we had about 175 guests, which was marvelous, at a beautiful Victorian home that had a lovely porch, that very large porch we were able to be on, and a large tent. The weather gods were kind to us. There were some thunderstorms that came through. We were able to get everybody out of the tent, onto the porch and into the house at the end. But for the most part, we dodged the bad weather. And that, too, is our largest one-day event that raises a lot of money for us. But the timing of our conversation today is really good for us here, because we have a very well-known event that's coming up later this summer, and we have a book signing with authors here at the library. This will be our 28th annual book signing, and it is scheduled for Friday, July 31st. In the last few years, it has expanded into a whole weekend of literary and library-related activities. So this year, it's the 31st of July through Sunday, August 2nd. But the signature portion of that is still the book signing on the lawn on the Sharon Green, right outside the library on that Friday evening from 4:45 to 7:30. We will have 24 authors there with us this year, children's books, illustrators also, plus a huge array of, you know, really something for everybody in fiction and nonfiction. We have Jenny Jackson coming with her big summer novel, The Shampoo Effect. We have some debut novelists. Yume Balasingamchow will be here with a book called Names Have Been Changed, which is very much anticipated. It's coming out next week. We have some local authors. This event, I should say, grew out of the desire to help promote the work of local authors 28 years ago. And this year we have two novelists that are either in Sharon or grew up in Sharon, and we have a couple of nonfiction book authors coming back who also have connections to the town. So that's really exciting. We like to have them here. In addition, you know, they're well-known names from all different areas. Simon Winchester will be back. He comes pretty much every time he has a new book, and this year he'll be signing his book, The Breath of Gods, The History and Future of the Wind. We have art and design books. We have health and wellness books, history books. Jonathan Mahler will be here with The Gods of New York, about New York in the late 1980s. And in memoir and biography, we have a very big name coming. E. Jean Carroll will be with us, the only person who has successfully fought the current president in court, although she has not received any of the settlement money. And she wrote a memoir that came out last year called Not My Type, One Woman Versus a President. She will actually be at the library on Saturday for a signing on her own, and then there will be a cocktail party with her later that evening. I should mention we also have author dinners on Friday, and this year also on Saturday there'll be one. So there are six dinners on Friday where you can go to a local resident's home and have dinner with a small group of people and the author of one of these books that will talk, you know, they usually read a little bit, answer questions, talk about their process. And it's a really a fun way to get a deeper dive into some of these books. So we're super excited. And then on Saturday, this will be the second year we're celebrating cookbooks, and we have an event called Paged Plate, and we will have six different speakers, and you can purchase a ticket for the morning or the afternoon. Our headline speaker this year will be Melissa Clark from the New York Times cooking section, and she's written many, many, many cookbooks, and we're really excited to have her here. She'll also be doing a brunch for us at a private home on Sunday, August 2nd. And also new this year, we'll have a kids' reading carnival on Sunday morning at the library under the tent at 11:30 until 2 with carnival games, and it will celebrate the end of the summer reading program, but it will also, anybody is welcome to attend, and we have an ice cream truck coming and prizes and a magician and face painter and animal balloon tire and all kinds of cool things. So this is an example of a, you know, something that's become very well known in the area, our Friday book signing, and how it's become instrumental to us in terms of fundraising. And then we like its connection, obviously, to literary things and reading, and try to have something for everybody. It is a ticketed event, everything except the kids' reading carnival, but the final hour of the book signing on Friday is open to everybody. So we hope everyone that is interested will have a chance to come and participate. Another fun thing we're doing right now, we have a special T-shirt we've produced for the 4th of July events here in Sharon that we're doing along with some other community organizations, and we have an old poster at the library that was found when we moved out a few years ago for our restoration project, and it was from the 4th of July in 1918. And we've reproduced a portion of that poster on the T-shirt and celebrating this year's 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And we've been selling those online, and we also have a few left in the library if anybody's interested. So we're always looking for new ways to fundraise. We have a full-time development director here at the library that I work closely with, and she also works closely with our board, but it takes a lot of staff time and board time and volunteer time to do all of this. How about your staffing? How do you handle fundraising, Sandy? Tammy.
Yeah, so it is, I mean, I was, when you were going through all of the things you do and thinking of what we do, it is an amazing amount of time goes into raising money just to carry on the essential functions of a library. And I don't think a lot of people realize how much effort goes into that.
Right.
We do not have, we have a very part-time development staff person who mainly handles our donor database and, you know, produces thank you notes and things like that. We don't have a full-time person, though we are discussing hiring an additional part-time person who would help coordinate all of these activities, because it is a drain on staff time, and it is otherwise entirely volunteer-driven. And it is increasingly difficult to find those volunteers who are willing to make that commitment. It is a lot of work.
Yeah, that's true. It is harder and harder to recruit volunteers as our population gets older, I think. We're very fortunate here. The position was, our development position was a part-time position, and just a year ago it actually, you know, grew into a full-time position because of all of these events. And it takes a great deal of coordination, plus all of the, as you mentioned, administrative work of recording all of the donations and making sure they're acknowledged properly and in a timely fashion. And so it takes time and money to raise money, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's great to see people come out and support libraries. And I wish you luck at your gala. And then in the coming weeks, we were very pleased to find out that despite the uncertainty in the economy, there was still plenty of support out there for us, which was great. Yeah. So what are you reading, and what are people reading in your neck of the woods, Tammy?
Well, at the moment, we have two books that seem to be the top of our request list. One is Ann Patchett's newest book, Whistler, which is a book that has about a middle-aged English teacher who has a chance encounter with a man who was briefly her childhood stepfather. And there's two storylines. One is when she was a child, and the other is as an adult. So that's the top of the list right now. And following close behind is Yesteryear by Carol Claire Burke, which is a satire about a trad wife influencer who somehow ends up living in the 19th century pioneer past and the trials and tribulations she has to go through that she is totally unprepared for. What are your patrons reading these days?
Very similar. The Ann Patchett book just came out, so that one's going up on the list. We've had a lot of requests for the new Anthony Horowitz book in his Hawthorne mystery series, A Deadly Episode. Also, John of John by Douglas Stewart, which I'm currently reading and enjoying. Python's Kiss, the story collection by Louise Erdrich, is still up on the list. Theo of Golden is still very popular. We have, I think, three copies now here going in and out. And Strangers by Bell Burden is also still requested a lot. And what are you reading?
So I think last time we spoke, I mentioned having read The Plot by Jean Askerlitz. So having enjoyed that, I decided to read the sequel, which is the sequel to The Plot. And it continues the story of literary widow Anna Williams Bonner, who is now a successful author herself. And her life is upended when an anonymous person starts sending her excerpts of a novel that she thought was lost. And it threatens to expose secrets in her past and about her husband. So it's a fun read. I recommend it if you want a nice, fun read for the summer.
Did you like it as much as The Plot? I haven't read the second one.
I haven't finished
it
yet. I'm still in the middle of it yet, so can't answer that yet.
I just read Yesteryear, which you mentioned. I tend to not read right away the really buzzy books because I hear so much about them, and I let other people read them first, but I could not resist any longer. I'd been anticipating that one for many months, and everywhere I turned, people were talking about it. So I listened to the audiobook, actually, and I recommend the audiobook. It was quite good. It's the kind of book you need somebody to talk to about, You need somebody there who's going through it with you, I think, and afterwards you want to sort of decompress with it. And I recommend to read it without listening to all the buzz in the universe out there around it so that you can come to it without any bias in advance. But it's very entertaining. It's very thought-provoking. It's also upsetting. I started out laughing out loud. It's very funny at first, and then it takes turns that get darker and darker, and then, you know, it's very, very, it sort of turns into a thriller, as you mentioned earlier. How did she end up waking up and it being 1853? What exactly happened, and how did this transpire? But it's thought-provoking, and it's different than what I thought it would be. So I recommend people take a look at that, and then it's a good book club book, I think. Have a reading buddy to talk to about it, and then look at all the stuff on the internet about it after you've read it. I also read Ben Lerner's new very short novel, Transcription, which I loved. I had heard a lot about him in the past, had not read him previously, and was really, really interesting. You can get through it in a day or two, and very easily. And it's about a guy who goes to interview his mentor from many years earlier. From University Times, and he shows up and he's supposed to be doing an interview, and he drops his iPhone, this isn't giving anything away, it happens in the first couple of pages, into the sink, and can't use it to interview him. And so he interviews a very significant person towards the end of his life, and he knows this interview is going to be important for posterity, but he's not actually recording it. And there are three portions to the novel, the repercussions from that, and it questions really the truth, what is the truth, how people interpret their memories and present their story at different points in their life. And it's an experimental sort of narrative structure. It's really interesting. I recommend it. As I mentioned, I'm currently reading John of John by Douglas Stewart, which I love. He was the author of Shuggie Bain a number of years ago, and which won the Booker Prize. And it's about a young man, and I think it must be like the 1980s, 70s or 80s, from the Isle of Harris in Scotland, where the famous Harris tweed comes from. And it's all regulated, what kind of wool and who weaves it and how much one person can weave in a day, and it's all made by hand. And this young man left the island to go to Glasgow to study at university to further his education, and he's called back to the island. And he's suddenly back there, very remote place, with his father and grandmother, and they all have secrets, and what it means to come back home, what it means to be part of a tradition, and also what family means. And I'm still reading, but the secrets are going to come to the surface very soon. So I recommend it. It's beautiful writing. And I'm listening to an older Taylor Jenkins Reid novel, Carrie Soto Is Back, when I'm in the car driving. So for something different that a friend recommended. So I've got a little of everything going on. And what events do you have coming up, Tammy? And programs, I assume summer reading is launching soon?
Summer reading is launching next week. Yes, we have our summer reading kickoff next Saturday, on the Saturday the 27th at 11 o'clock. We have a concert with Tom Selling, and we'll be launching our summer reading challenges for both kids and adults. They can pick up their bingo cards. They can enjoy some music and dancing and just family fun. So we hope it'll be out in our new pavilion. Hope the weather's good, and it should be a fun time. Before that, this coming Wednesday on the 24th, we have our final tech lab of the season, which is on generative AI. So if you've ever been curious about AI, what it is, how to use it, when to use it, you're welcome to join us. This one is on Zoom, so you need to register by emailing the library and or calling the library, and we'll get you on the list and get you the link. That's at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, the 24th. And then the other big event we have coming up is we have a monthly summer concert series, and our next concert is next Sunday, the 28th with the Eagles Stage Band, which is a big band, brass band from the Berkshires. They play a lot of swing era tunes, big band tunes. It's always a fun concert. And that'll be also out in our pavilion. They're way too loud to be in the library itself. So, again, in the pavilion, hoping for nice weather next weekend. How about you? What do you have going on?
We launched our summer reading program for kids on Tuesday after school and early evening, and that was great. We also have an adult summer reading program. People can still register for either one of them. Just come in and pick up the materials at any time at the desk. Our Lunch and Learn program continues this summer. On Friday, June 26th, we'll have lunch and session of games. So come and play cards or Scrabble, backgammon, checkers, chess, anything you want. We have all the games, and that'll be a lot of fun. And then on Friday, July 10th, we have an introduction to Qigong at Lunch and Learn for people who have not done Qigong before. And then the following day, Saturday the 11th at 12:30, we will have our seasonal Qigong session for people who have done a little Qigong, Qigong for Summer with Chris Caivano. And the last thing I'll mention is this evening, starting at 5 for the next 6 or 8 weeks, I believe, we have a French class for small children launching, Le Petit Jardin Français. So if you have small children who might be interested in exposure to a new language and culture, you're welcome to go to our website and register for that. And we also have a lot of 4th of July events happening in Sharon. We'll be reading the Declaration of Independence at 12:30 on July 4th on the steps of the library. We're still looking for a few readers to join us if anyone would like to sign up. And there are other things happening all around town that day. Thanks so much, Tammy. Good luck with your gala.
You too.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio, 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.